Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we talked about a poll that's looking pretty good for Republicans in general from the Hill newspaper yesterday, which shows more and more Americans think that the president deserves more and more responsibility for the floundering economy. And now a new poll from USA Today Gallup finds more good news, this more specifically from Mitt Romney, by more than 2-1, according to the story by Susan Page in USA Today. 63% to 29%. Those surveyed say Romney's background in business, including his tenure at Bain Capital, would cause him to make good decisions, not bad ones, in dealing with the nation's economic problems over the next 4 years. Think there's going to be a strategy session over at Obama HQ after all these ads dumping on Mitt Romney for his performance at Bain over those years?
Greg, I think we kind of have already seen this, that yesterday the Obama campaign unveiled what they're claiming is a one-minute TV ad. They say they're going to put this in 13 swing states. I think I want to see very closely which stations they are, whether they pick the cheapest stations in the entire state to claim that they're making a very big push with this. But it's a very different one. It features, you know, President Obama talking directly to the camera. And people on this morning on Chuck Todd's show, et cetera, were kind of saying, well, why the sudden change in tone? And there's two arguments. The first is that with the relentless, you know, negative ads you see from both parties and super PACs and the, you know, the RNC and DNC and all these other groups, well, it just kind of all seems like noise that, you know, every one of them has the same grainy black and white photos and, you know, the announcer who always sounds like this. So all of this, people tune it out. And so the argument is that all the Bain ads that Obama campaign has been running really haven't done much of an impact at all. And in fact, I think this is kind of what yesterday's poll result you're citing from USA Today is almost just twisting the knife in the Obama campaign, because not only is it not tearing down Romney the way they hoped, for some reason people seem to like him more. You know? I don't know if they're like, man, if he knows how to put his money into Swiss banks, I guess he really knows how to move money around. He'll be able to get us some good savings and make government more efficient or something. This may rank as one of the great, epic, backfiring ad campaigns of all time. I want to see this, you know, if there are a few more polls that kind of indicate the same result. It seems safe to say that this has not been the decisive tool that the Obama campaign hoped it was going to be. And I think it was Sean Trend who compared it to a shock and awe campaign. Well, they dropped a heck of a lot of metaphorical bombs on Romney, and they completely missed the target. It just looked like it worked, and that's $58 million down the drain that, you know, they don't get back, and people are worried about the Obama campaign's fundraising. So lots of good indications from this that a relentlessly negative campaign trying to hammer Romney did not work. And I think the new ad is kind of the greatest indication that they've realized, okay, back to the drawing board, our entire strategy and tone and style is just not connecting with the voters we want to connect with.
Yeah, it didn't work for Romney's Republican rivals in the primary season, and it's at least at this point not working for Obama now. We'll see if this new tack does any better for him, although it's essentially still about class warfare and what he wants to do about raising taxes on the wealthy. And obviously, he's pitching it in a much different way. As you mentioned, another piece of good news is that this ad buy on all the Bain stuff cost him a bundle. We saw the story a couple days ago that the campaign actually lost money in June, which probably won't be a huge factor down the road, but it's good to see them wasting money on something that's clearly not working. On to martini number two now, and on to national security. And we saw pretty recently a lot of members on Capitol Hill, Republicans primarily, talking about how there needs to be a special investigator to look into where some of these national security leaks came from, whether it's the collaboration that we did in terms of introducing viruses to the Iranian nuclear program and a whole lot of other areas that we just shouldn't know about in terms of the general public. These are things that should be kept pretty secret. There's a lot of folks in the military community who think way too much was revealed in terms of the tactics and so forth from the mission that killed Osama bin Laden back in the middle part of last year. And now there's someone else who is ready to point the finger of blame to some extent at the White House. It's this arch-conservative, not really, Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who is chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
I think the White House has to understand that some of this is coming from its ranks. I don't know specifically where, but I think they have to begin to understand that. and do something about it.
And she goes on to say that there's a lot of different layers at the White House. This may not specifically be, you know, going right to the top, this idea to leak. But she does say later on that it's up to the president to set the right tone.
The importance of this has to be really set by the president himself. And hopefully he will do it. And I think he'll most likely read the book and see it himself.
Jim, you'd like to think there'd be a general understanding in the national security wing of the administration that you don't leak national security secrets, but apparently a little bit more work on that front needs to be done. With Dianne Feinstein pointing the finger at the administration, it's pretty hard to call that a partisan witch hunt.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, this is a bad martini with a couple of good parts to it. I mean, it's good to see Dianne Feinstein calling it as she sees it. And kind of from the very beginning of this story, there's been a certain, you know, common sense. All of the stories that come out with these classified information all tend to make the president come across as a very heroic figure, always the wise, just dispenser of justice. I think it was Peggy Noonan had said that, you know, to read these stories, he is Barack Obama vampire slayer, which I think is, you know, you look at a leak like that and you think, well, gee, who benefits? I think it was a great Michael Kelly column who said that if Richard Holbrooke had ever become Secretary of State, there would be anonymous sources telling the newspaper that nobody in the administration knows what's going on except for the Secretary of State. Generally, when a rather controversial bit of information comes from a source, there's a really good chance that that source is glamorizing themselves and self-aggrandizing. And you know, nobody knows what's going on the way I do. It's if only they listen to me. I think what's really depressing about this martini is that Feinstein is basically coming out and saying, look, at least some of this is coming from the White House, you know, calling out for, you know, some fairly obvious developments here. And I just don't know if we're going to see any serious reaction to this. It's been mentioned, and I wrote about earlier, there were, you know, two U.S. attorneys, one of whom is an Obama donor, investigating this. These are two U.S. attorneys, no particular special authority or experience in dealing with classified leak cases. You know, we'll see if anybody ever gets punished for this. My guess is that there'll probably be a sternly worded memo distributed throughout the West Wing saying, hey, stop that. And, you know, whether anyone will ever suffer any consequence for leaking this classified information is pretty skeptical. So it is frustrating and it is aggravating that this has gotten so egregious that not even Dianne Feinstein can look aside, you know, avert her eyes in the name of partisan loyalty. And yet it's very unlikely that anyone will suffer any serious criminal consequence for this or even get fired from the White House over it.
Probably not. And keep in mind, as far as I know, she's still going to the convention. So, you know, this is a Democrat. Who
one of the few. Exactly. You know,
still on board with the president, presumably. So yeah, you got to take what she's saying here at probably pretty close to face value, as you mentioned. So on to martini number three now. And of course, regular listeners will know that Jim and Brett last week talked a lot about the president's comments a little over a week ago now in Virginia with the famous line, if you own a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else did that. And of course, now the Obama campaign is firing back with ads saying that's been taken out of context. He was referring to infrastructure, not the business itself. And even if he was referring to the roads, the context of the comments still mocks small business owners for, you know, supposedly thinking they worked hard or were smarter than other people. How could that possibly factor into their success when the government held their hand every step of the way? So now the president's friends over at MSNBC have dug into their archival footage since NBC had coverage of the 2002 Winter Olympic Games, which, of course, were organized in relief by Mitt Romney after the whole thing was about to crater. He did a fantastic job and is part of its resume for running for president. And here's some comments he made at the opening ceremonies, which Democrats now contend is Romney saying the same thing that Obama said several days ago. Take a listen.
We salute you, Olympians, both because you dreamed and because you paid the price to make your dreams real. You guys pushed yourself, drove yourself, sacrificed, trained, and competed time and again, winning and losing. You Olympians, however, know that you didn't get here solely on your own power. For most of you, loving parents, sisters, or brothers encouraged your hopes. Coaches guided, communities built venues and organized competitions. All Olympians stand on the shoulders of those who lifted them. We've already cheered the Olympians. Let's also cheer the parents, coaches, and communities.
So, Jim, there you go. Parents who sacrificed, got up at the wee hours of the morning, drove their kids to practice for years and years, paid a bunch of money to help their kids pursue their Olympic dreams. Exactly the same as the government, apparently somehow paving the way for businesses to succeed. I hope that they don't actually think this is a real parallel, but I'm going to enjoy the effort for them to try and make it so.
It's a nice sign of the panic that they're just at this point, you know, it's the cooking spaghetti school. You just throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks. But let's give some credit, Greg. I mean, you point out, you know, in that statement, Mitt Romney says that the athletes drove themselves. Well, on what roads, Greg? They drove themselves on roads built by the federal government or the state government. As we all know, when we think of parents, brothers, sisters, and coaches, that's just a metaphor for the federal government, right? I mean, in a way, isn't Obama our national father figure, our national coach? As Michelle Obama said, Barack Obama is going to put you to work. Now, he didn't mean actually in employing jobs, but nonetheless, metaphorically, he's putting us to work there. One of the things is that the utter conflation of the metaphorical and the literal is what's going on here, Greg. And I just think probably the best way to summarize the president's thinking on this is the president believes that the metaphorical road to success is a literal road. That you wouldn't be what you are if it hadn't been for all the roads and bridges. Never sidewalks very much. Apparently we don't walk or run to success. I guess it depends on who has the authority for cleaning up the sidewalk in your civic association. I know that I have to shovel my own sidewalk. So I guess it's not the federal government's responsibility. It's state and local government's responsibility. There was a whole comment of folks on the left insisting that this was a presidential gaffe. And the RNC came out with a video today and said, these aren't gaffes. And here's the thing. If it is a gaffe, Greg, it's an amazing coincidence how the gaffes always reinforce these negative narratives against them. You know, if he's one of these guys who has this, you know, overwhelming sense of the usefulness and powerful and good intentions and good results of the federal government, it's amazing how his Freudian slips always seem to come out that way, huh, Greg?
It certainly does. And, you know, they always talk about in the wake of all this, well, it's not in context. I think a great Romney ad would just be to play the whole thing in context and let the chips fall where they may, because his tone, his message, and what he clearly exposed himself as believing should pretty much horrify anyone who enjoys the American way of life, and certainly how our free market system has worked historically and can work again if we make a change there and some other places in the next few months. But nice try, MSNBC, but keep digging.
Well, look, if nothing else, we finally found common ground in this campaign season. Both President Obama and his supporters and Mitt Romney and his supporters believe you should watch the whole context of that comment. Everybody's convinced the context is really good for their side. So everybody take a look and draw your own conclusions.
Yeah, I think we'll come out better on the end of that bargain. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for being with us today. And join us again on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.